It is good to see everyone today on our Sunday morning worship service here at the Wayne County Bible Center. We're going to be in Matthew 5:8, a message that I have entitled Purity of the Heart at Salvation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for this time. We praise you for your word. Holy Spirit, be with us and bless us. Touch our hearts, our minds. Father, forgive me of daily sin and weekly sin. I pray, Lord Jesus, for a cleansing. Pray to be washed by your blood, filled with and anointed by your Spirit. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will just take over. Father, be our teacher. Lord, speak to every heart that is here today. Father, what do I need to hear from you today? Father, we just thank you for your truth, for your movement in action in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been good to us. Above and beyond, in mercy and in truth. Holy Spirit, be with us now. In your glorious name we pray. And Heavenly Father, just take over. And Lord Jesus, you be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now last week we began doing a study on that word heart. Okay? That word heart in the Greek is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. And it can actually mean your physical heart. But in this context, it means your inner self. And as I told you last week, the real you. Cardia in the Greek means your inner thoughts, your inner intentions and affections and desires, good or bad, it's the real you. We discovered last week only God can see the heart. And that in this life and in the next life, it's what is in your heart that matters to God. We saw that there's going to come a day at the judgment seat, God will reveal the secrets of your heart. And we looked at all those scriptures. The cardia means the secret underlying feelings and motives that cause you to do and say the things that you say. Let me show you what that means. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And look at the scripture. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of the Orthodox Mosaic Jewish religion who are rejecting him because they're corrupt in the monetary system that they've built up within the temple. And in verse 34, he says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart brings forth evil things. What you're doing most of the time is the real you. Now you can feel, you can fool folks. And you can act one way in church and be another way on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning. But God sees the heart. And so we're dealing with the heart. We want to study, what does it mean to be pure in heart? How do you receive a purity of heart? Verse 36, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." So, judgment's going to deal with our actions, especially lost people. It's going to deal with their actions, and it's going to deal with the actions that proceeded from their heart for Christians. God's going to deal with what we've done after we got saved. But I shared with you a short little list last week that was biblical, and I'm going to share it again. Every one of these heart descriptions I'm about to give you, I have a verse for. Whether we'll study them all, I don't know. But every one of them, I got a verse for. Because every time you deal with somebody, you're looking at the outside, but you better believe, my friend, you're dealing with their heart. And when folks deal with you, they're dealing with your heart. So, on the negative side, you can have a darkened heart or a blinded heart. You can have a deceitful heart, a hardened heart, an unconcerned or a dull heart, a selfish heart. On the positive side, you can have a searching or a seeking heart. I used the example last week of where Cameron said that his son Tate is starting to ask questions about biblical things, about Jesus, about spiritual things. And you know, a lot of times when a child's 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 years old, or 20, or 30, or 40, people start seeking. That's a good thing, to have a seeking or a searching heart. You can have an enlightened heart. And good Lord willing, we'll look at that today. You can have a pierced or a pricked or a convicted heart. That's biblical. We'll try to look at that today when your heart gets penetrated. You can have a contrite or broken heart, which is a good thing. That's the opposite of a hard, unfeeling heart. Contrite or a broken heart. And you can also have a pure heart, which is what we're studying. So today we are studying the purity of the heart at the point of salvation. The one-time experience aspect of the purity of the heart. And then in weeks ahead, hopefully we'll look at the continuous process of purifying the heart. And in this study on the purity of the heart at salvation, what it means to have the heart cleansed, there are three divine entities that have to work on you in conjunction, instantaneously and simultaneously for you to be saved. These are entities that are apart from humanity. They're supernatural, they're miraculous, and they're divine. One of them is the Word of God. I'm going to show you in the Word of God that this Word, the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, penetrates hearts. It has that mysterious, miraculous power and energy to do that. I'm going to show you the second entity that must be at work is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually comes from God. It's pneuma, it's wind, it's divine energy, it's the breath of God. It's His resurrection spirit that actually comes down as a spirit and works upon your mind and your heart in a spirit of conviction. That's supernatural. That's not guilt that you conjure up within yourself. This is something real that works with guilt that may be within you concerning your sin. The third divine aspect, and I love the old hymn that says the blood will never lose its power, is the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to know the first person that got saved at Pentecost was saved and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And when we get to the blood, I will show you people during the midway point of the tribulation that get saved due to the blood of Jesus. The blood will never lose its power, so the blood covers us also. But the first thing I want us to look at today is when it comes to the purity of your heart at salvation, the Word of God must penetrate your heart. So go with me to Romans chapter 1. And I want to show you a condition of the heart. Well, I tell you what, keep your hand in Romans chapter 1. Let me give you one more review. Jump back to Jeremiah 17. Brother Leo's going to try to do more teaching than preaching today, because this is important stuff to cover. We need to understand this. Jeremiah 17 talks about the condition of the heart. In verse 9 it says this. You know, I told you, everybody you deal with, you're dealing with their heart. That everybody includes you. So when you're dealing with yourself, you're dealing with your heart. So in Jeremiah 17 verse 9 it says this. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know and understand their own heart? How powerful is that? The Lord, search your heart. I try your inner motives, even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doings. My judgment's going to be based on the truth of a man's heart. But what I want you to understand this, it is difficult for a man to recognize at times his own true spiritual condition. That's what that verse is saying. Zadati said this, so I'm quoting it. It's way too smart for me. It is very difficult many times for man to recognize his true spiritual condition. That's why it's very important. Our cooperation is to allow God to search your heart. You know, we just sang a praise chorus that was a prayer. Another good prayer is Psalm 139. Lord, search my heart and reveal to me the truth about myself. You know, because a lot of times when you say that person doesn't even know how evil they are. Well, the Word of God there is saying you don't know how evil you are at times. So the heart can deceive us. And you know, a lot of folks get out and they spent their whole lives following their heart. And I made this point last week and I'll make it again. The only time you can follow your heart is when your heart is saturated with the influence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's the only time you can follow your heart. Well, it's in my heart to do this. Well, your heart can lead you in the wrong direction according to Jeremiah. You want to make sure your heart is saturated by the influence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. All right. That was part of last week's message. Now, let's jump into Romans chapter 1. So if you missed last week, go back and pick it up. We're arriving. Tim's letting me know there are people criticizing me in states very, very far from here. So we know they're listening. Thank you for listening. I will defend your right to criticize me, but thank you for listening. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, I want to share with you scripturally the condition of the darkened heart. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain and empty and prideful in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. All right, what is the condition of a darkened heart according to this verse of Scripture? A darkened heart is an ungodly heart. It's a vain heart. It's a prideful heart. And it's a carnal or it's a horizontal living heart. That's a darkened heart. A darkened heart is an ungodly heart. It's a vain heart. It's a prideful heart. It's a carnal heart. Now notice what it says. It says, neither were they thankful. A darkened heart has no recognition or acknowledgement of God, thus no gratitude toward God. Darkened heart is a heart that just has nothing to do with God, and it has allowed itself to become darkened to all the things of God. Just like folks can sit in this church, they can listen to me preach and they can totally tune me out. And that's happened, you know, probably 35 years. Folks can be on this internet. Somebody may make them listen to one of my messages and tune me out. So their heart is darkened. All right. Now, let me show you how that heart gets changed. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is what happened to you if you got saved. And all of us in this life, we deal with people that have a darkened heart. Now, it may not be as ungodly as what we read about in Romans chapter 1, but it may be a dull heart or an unconcerned heart that doesn't care about the things of God. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says this, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Verse 6a. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath to shine into these hearts. So what kind of heart are we looking at right now? We're looking at a blinded heart. Look at what it says. The God of this world hath blinded their heart. Now, what is their heart blinded to? Look at what the scripture says. In whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds so that they will believe not. Verse 3. Believe not what? Believe not the gospel. So what is a blinded heart blinded to? A blinded heart is blinded to the things of Jesus. Well, what are the things of Jesus? Hey man, that's easy. Jesus is the true Son of God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus shed his blood so we could be cleansed. Jesus rose from the grave. We must be born again in Jesus by his Spirit, indwelt by his Spirit. So if somebody's blinded, they're blinded to those spiritual concepts. When you're blinded to the gospel, you're not blinded to God being a creator. You're not blinded to God being good. But you are definitely blinded in this context to Jesus Christ being your Savior. So we got a darkened heart and we got a blinded heart. Now, notice what changes, and we're basically looking at the same word. Notice what changes. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, that's the gospel, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, what is it that changed a darkened heart into an enlightened heart? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ himself shining into our heart. So, what are you saying, Brother Leo? I'm saying right there in that verse of Scripture, it says that the divine Word of God has the power to shine into someone's heart, illuminate their heart, and they feel the presence of the Word of God piercing and penetrating their heart. Now, notice he uses the example of the sun shining into a dark place. Now, where I live, I'm surrounded by woods. But as that morning sun rises, it penetrates through the woodline. If I were to go out and sit in it, I could put my face toward the sun and feel the warmth. Now, I can't touch those rays, but I can feel them. In those dark places, I can't move that sun around, but I can see where those dark places are made light by those sun rays. That's what God is talking about here. There is a supernatural penetration of the Word of God that can pierce an individual's heart. So what are you saying, Brother Leo? I'm saying this. You and I do not have the power to change somebody's heart, but the Word of God does. Amen. So you want the Word of God in front of folks. You want the Word of God presented to folks. You want little children to grow up with devotions. You want them consumed with the Word of God. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So when you got saved, you got saved as a result of 2 Corinthians 4. You got saved as a result of gaining the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the gospel as your Savior. And the only way you gain that knowledge is through the Word of God. You know, if you got a grandchild, you need to talk to him about salvation. You know, if you got a child, you need to talk to them about salvation. You can't force them to accept Jesus, but you got to begin to give them that knowledge. You know, and if you're shut out from their lives, you need to pray somebody will get it to them. Yeah. But you know, we talk about everything to our family. You've got to give young people, you got to give everybody the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're in here saved today, this was the first divine component that began the work that got you saved. You responded by listening. Your cooperation was to listen and to receive what you were hearing or what you were being taught. Now, and I'm going to show you this clearly. Look in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What are you saying, Brother Leo? I am saying that the Word of God, you can get alone with the Word of God tomorrow morning, and it has an energy, it has a power by which it will penetrate your inner thoughts, mind, and motives. And on a personal basis, working with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God will reveal to you things you need to know about yourself. The truth will penetrate you, and the truth will set you free from any bondage that exists within you. And there's no other way. I'm telling you right now, I have nothing else to teach you biblically as far as the penetration work that can only be done by the Word of God. Amen. And you can't replace it with anything else. You can't replace it with feel-good stuff. You can't replace it with church socials. You can't replace it with ice cream. You can't replace it with good works. You must allow the Word of God to do the work it was intended to do in your life. And I want you to understand the Word of God will penetrate you. Now, I'm saying this, and I don't know how much this ministry is growing, but I know it's everywhere through this website. I would venture to say that 90% of the people that are being touched through this teaching ministry have still not established the discipline of daily getting along with God and His Word. And that's frightening. And that's frightening. And that's why you're not going to change. That's why these things are not going to happen in your life. And I'm going to tell you, no amount of time on Facebook can ever replace the Word of God in your life. And we got people that will dive into Facebook, but will not allow the sword. Look at what it says. That sword will go into you. It will define you. It is a discerner and a revealer of the true you, the inner you, the condition of your heart. And then verse 13, here we go, talking about judgment. Let the word of God deal with you now so that in the day of judgment, you, like any other creature, will not stand before his sight. All things will be naked, open, and revealed under the eyes of him with whom you're going to have to deal with. And that Greek phrase actually means deal with in a one-on-one, face-to-face conversation. So we're going to stand before the Lord. So what I'm saying unto you, I praise God, and I hope this isn't coming off as a negative thing. I love getting alone with God and allowing the Lord to deal with me. I'm glad I ain't got to get alone with y'all and have everything revealed. I mean, that's how the Lord works, and it's wonderful. It is wonderful. But there is no one else. There's no other self-help book. There's nothing else that can do this work aside from the Word of God. Let me show you again. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be the generation that had more available to us concerning the Word of God, concerning the teaching of the Word of God, concerning devotionals in the Word of God, than any generation that's ever lived. So we're going to really be without excuse. Amen. Our weakness in the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says this. Now I want you to understand something. Peter has just relayed the experience of being on the Mount of Transfiguration and hearing the very voice of God audibly. And then he compares it to something. He goes, verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. We have now a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you will do well to take heed." Listen, "this word is like a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that every prophecy of Scripture came unto men," verse 21, "as they were moved and impressed upon by the Holy Spirit." So my friend, I hope you don't decide to do anything this week that has any kind of ramifications that are based on you're just going to follow your heart. You're going to do what you think's best. I'm going to do a nice thing. You ever heard of people doing nice things? Man, I'm going to tell you something. We have more people in this community that do more nice things for more people. And a lot of times they don't know the situation. They don't know what's going on. And they are enabling a bad situation to get a million times worse. And the bottom line is, because they're not seeking the discernment of God. You know, how many times do you see in situations in life when people are rewarding 8-year-olds for bad behavior instead of disciplining them for bad behavior? Because they think they're doing a nice thing. They think they're doing a good thing. You know, I was sharing, we run into some controversy at times. People listen to us. And then I hear from other folks in the Carolinas that folks are saying things on Facebook and different things. And I'll say at least they're listening. And you know, I am a staunch supporter of life at conception. Amen. You know, that God created life at conception. And somebody was asking me about that the other day, and I got on that subject, and I said to them quite simply, I said, I believe it all goes back to personal responsibility and accountability. And there are enough techniques medically available in this country, provided freely, to keep someone from becoming witch-eyed. So take the personal responsibility and accountability of doing that, so that you do not end up turning God's womb, which is an incubator of life, into a death chamber. I'm not telling people how to live their life. I'm telling people not to murder the most helpless beings on the face of the planet. Amen. That's when common sense has been turned backwards in the street. I mean, there are a lot of Americans out there that think I'm the crazy one. That's how backwards Satan has their thinking. There is no excuse. No excuse for the great majority of people, and I'm saying men and women in this country, to not prevent an unwanted pregnancy. But to terminate the life of the most helpless individual on the face of the planet, when that child could be brought full term and given to a loving home. I mean, there are even options after that, that God has provided in this situation. And I want you to understand, those proponents of murdering babies, that their father is a liar and he is Satan. And you've got to understand that. The giver of life is God. The destroyer of life, he has come to lie, kill, and destroy. So I want you to understand something. You know, a lot of times people think they're doing good things, but their own heart is deceiving them. Now, let me show you another one. Go to Acts chapter 2. Let me show you how powerful the Word of God is. This is the first entity, good Lord willing. We'll look at the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit next week. But I want you to understand, for your heart to be purified, one of the three purifying agents is the Word of God. And to keep it pure, and we'll see that in weeks ahead. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter is preaching at Pentecost. And he says this. Go to verse 22. He goes, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Now be thinking, what's he teaching here? "Him being delivered by determinate wicked men, they crucified him," verse 24, "God raised him up from the dead." Verse 21, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." Verse 37, "Now when they had heard this," what did they hear? The gospel. They just heard the gospel. They heard the truth of the gospel. Now, what did it do? Now, Peter didn't turn flips. Peter didn't speak the tongues. Peter didn't jump pews. Peter didn't put "just as I am" on the stereo. All he did was share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, notice what happened. "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do?" So what do you say, Brother Lil? When they heard this, their heart got pricked. So I want to say to you again, this is the Deities. Divine operation can never work without human cooperation. What's divine operation? Number one today, divine operation is when the Word of God is allowed to prick somebody's heart. That's a supernatural experience. Well, what would be divine, what would be human cooperation? Human cooperation would be somebody's willing to listen. Somebody wants to listen. Somebody wants to hear what the Word of God's saying. Somebody's thinking there's something missing out of my life and I got some problems here. Human cooperation is when somebody opens their heart to the Word of God. Now, a lot of times you're trying, like a battering ram, to implore divine operation on someone that does not possess human cooperation. And if their hearts and minds aren't receptive, it ain't gonna work. And if your heart and mind's not receptive, it ain't gonna work. So instead of wasting all this time trying to battering ram something on somebody else, pray for them and let the Holy Spirit work on you. Pray for them and let the Holy Spirit work on you. Because a lot of people have been turned away from God all because of the timing. Now, notice what they did. They heard it, they listened, and then they responded. So I want you to understand, one part of human cooperation is a response. Did you get saved the first time you heard the gospel? I didn't. I heard an evangelistic sermon Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in my home church in Charleston, South Carolina. I felt the Holy Spirit all over me, and I grabbed the back of the pew so hard I couldn't move. And I told you the story. I told my cousin, we need to go up there. And he looked at me, he goes, what are you talking about? And my thought was, you know, they're singing the song. My thought was, goodness gracious, the Holy Spirit got to be on everybody in this pew as hard as he's on me. I didn't know the Holy Spirit wasn't dealing with him, but he was dealing with me. I said, we need to go up there. And I wanted somebody to walk with me. That was a big church. That was a long walk. But I want you to understand, I didn't respond. I finally did. So part of human cooperation is responding to what these divine entities are doing when they prick our heart. Now, then they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 40, with many other words, he encouraged them. And they listened. Verse 41, they responded, received the word, and were baptized. That's human cooperation. God will not force anybody to be saved. And God will not force any one of us to get our lives where they need to be as Christians or children of God. God will not force you to deal with your own heart when you're lost. And God will not force you to deal with your own heart once you've been saved. And we'll cover that in a few weeks. But I want you to understand, whether you're lost or saved, this divine entity that we're studying today, the Word of God, you need to feed on it every day. If your heart's going to be where it needs to be. Now, let me show you one more before I close. Go with me to Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15... Verse 5, Peter is at what is known as the council at Jerusalem. The Jewish converts are saying that the Gentile converts need to be circumcised in order to truly be saved. So they're trying to add a work to salvation. And in verse 5, it says, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God chose me to bring the word of God to the Gentiles by the word of my own mouth, that they should hear the word of the gospel. All right, here's the word of the gospel. They believed that was their cooperation. The word of the gospel was the divine operation. the power of the Word. Them believing and having saving faith was their cooperation. And God, which knows the heart, God saw the heart, and when He saw that they believed, what did He do? He gave them, sent to them, transmitted to them the divine agent of the Holy Spirit from heaven into their heart. Now, we'll study that next week. So I want you to understand that the Word of God, which is outside of me, the truth, penetrates my heart. When I respond to the Word of God with saving faith, instantaneously and simultaneously, and I'll show you this next week, the blood of Christ cleanses me of all sin, and the Spirit of Christ comes into my heart and dwells in me. Three divine agents at work: the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, getting saved is a big deal. Getting saved is a powerful experience. Getting saved is a wonderful thing. And at that moment, and I'll show you next week, your heart is purified. Purified in the eyes of God. I'll show you two verses in Revelation that talk about how your heart got purified in the past tense. I'll show you three more verses New Testament that show you how your heart gets purified in the past tense. And then, the good Lord willing, we'll move forward in how your heart gets a continual cleansing. Because you need it. How do you know I need it, Brother Leo? Because you and I are just like Peter. When Jesus said, "Peter, I don't need to wash your whole body because you've done been washed. But guess what? I need to wash your feet every day. Because every day you walk in this world." I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to talk to the Lord about the condition of your heart in an area. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. "Lord Jesus, I need you to search my heart in this area. Because, Father, I kind of been following my heart. Sometimes, Lord, in this area, I think this will be a good thing to do to help this situation. But Father, I'm not sure that my heart is saturated by the influence of your Holy Spirit and by your guidance and direction in this area of my life. So would you pray about that area for a few moments, and then I'll give you something else before we close." Now, in the quietness of this moment, I want to share something with you. There have been times in my life where I have had to make decisions and tell folks things that were not easy to do. But at those times, I've been able to say this at certain times, and it has been the truth. Sometimes you can tell folks that you're going to do something or you're not going to do something because you have prayed about it and the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart in this area. And you can say, "Fred, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. Or I'm not going to be able to do this anymore because I prayed about it and the Holy Spirit has spoken to me not to do this." Or you can say, "Fred, this is what I'm going to do. I prayed about it And the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and told me I need to do this. But my friend, there are important situations in our life that we have maybe followed our heart with good intentions. And Jeremiah tells us that a lot of times our good intentions are the result of deception. So Holy Spirit, we all ask you this day and over the next few days, we want you to search our hearts and reveal to us. Let the sun shine in our heart and enlighten us so that we know that we know what you are guiding us. What direction? We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you.